Well, John, we're talking now on, it's Thursday, the 21st of January, so we're a little past a week from the earthquake. Maybe you can just kind of give us a quick update on where things stand in the CRS, Catholic Relief Services, aid efforts.
Sure. We're really starting to ramp up our relief effort, particularly in the area of food distribution. We have two major areas that we're in charge of. There's a golf course, a country club in Port-au-Prince, where people have spontaneously gone in order to seek some shelter. Their homes have been destroyed, or they're afraid to sleep in their homes. And so they're basically camping out on the fairways of this country club. There are about 30 to 35,000 people there during the day, and that swells to over 50,000 at night. It's secured by the U.S. military, and we are providing food and water for the people there, and they're procuring tarps to make makeshift tents for shelter, and with the realization they could be there for quite a while. Today is Thursday. Tomorrow, Friday, we're going to start some very large-scale food distributions. We're going to give them a two-week ration of grain and vegetable oil, and you can mix those together and make kind of a loaf. You can either bake it or not. It probably tastes better if you bake it. People have makeshift propane stoves, or they can procure charcoal to start fires and to cook this. We're going to start handing that out at this golf course tomorrow for the next 4 days. And again, the U.S. military is really helping us out in keeping that orderly and secure, which is very important because people are getting frustrated and they do tend to be a little impatient in line, and sometimes there's a little pushing and shoving, and that can be bad both for the people in line and for our workers as well. And we're also serving a town, Leogan, I believe it's called, that was nearly destroyed in the earthquake. I hear that it was about 70% destroyed, and 20% of the buildings that are standing will need to be demolished because they're just so structurally unsound. And so we are also providing food there. Over the next days and weeks, we're going to start distributing food at parishes in Port-au-Prince, in the Archdiocese of Port-au-Prince. We've identified 50 parishes where they can register people in the neighborhood. You know, it's not just for Catholics, it's for anyone who needs the food. And we will go to those parishes and distribute the food to those pre-registered people. We're also ramping up our medical response. We were active in Haiti before the earthquake in the President's Emergency Plan for AIDS Relief. We have a consortium that we are a part of, AIDS Relief, that provides services, medical services, to people with HIV and AIDS, and provides antiretroviral therapy, the drug cocktail that keeps people alive who have AIDS. We are continuing those services because that medication cannot be interrupted, but at the same time, we are using our medical personnel and clinics there to provide urgent medical care. We went to a hospital, a Catholic hospital, that had been, again, nearly destroyed in the earthquake, but there were a couple of usable buildings, and we were able to clear debris, and since Sunday, we've had some surgical teams conducting surgeries there for critically injured patients. In addition, we're going to be sending some teams from the shock trauma unit here in Baltimore to Haiti for a fairly long-term commitment. They'll be rotating teams in and out of Port-au-Prince for the next several months, and we'll be able to provide surgical services through these volunteer doctors and medical personnel.
You mentioned your collaboration with the parishes to get food through the churches. We know that the Archbishop was killed in the earthquake. What is the state of the church down there now? What kind of leadership is in place?
I'm just not familiar with that aspect of it. I do know that the parish structure is organized enough that we've chosen that system to distribute our food. And I know that the Papal Nuncio there has been quite active, and we have a close working relationship both with Caritas Haiti and with the Archdiocese there.
Now, you said you've been in the country for quite some time. How did that help you to respond quickly to the earthquake when it happened?
Sure. Yeah, we've been in Haiti since 1954, and it's one of our larger programs. We have more than 300 permanent staff there, most of whom are Haitian. That helped us in many ways. Number one, having personnel there on the ground already. One of the factors we're dealing with is our staff who are now responding to this emergency actually went through the earthquake. They experienced the earthquake. They experienced the same trauma that a lot of other people in Port-au-Prince are experiencing. Many of our, I don't want to say many, but some of our staff, our Haitian staff, have lost family and friends and are going through that whole grieving process. There was one of our staff, a woman, who was buying dog food in a supermarket in Port-au-Prince when the building collapsed. The roof came down on her and her twin sons and several other people, and the stacks of dog food broke the fall of the ceiling and kind of created a tunnel for them. And they were there for more than 8 hours, but were eventually rescued. Well, she came right back to work. She's working 12-hour days after going through that kind of a traumatic experience. So we do have a staff that's working very hard, but they've been through a tough time. But at the same time, we do have that staff, and they're highly trained and highly professional. And so that's not something that we have to move in. They already were there. The other advantage is we had a feeding program. We help extremely vulnerable people who cannot fend for themselves. So we use USAID food aid to feed those folks, largely through the Missionaries of Charity. So I'm talking about orphans, the elderly, and people who are disabled. We had that food in our warehouse. Plus, we pre-positioned supplies in Haiti because it's so disaster-prone because of the many hurricanes that strike the island. So we had pre-positioned disaster supplies. So we were able to immediately draw on those stocks to provide aid very, very soon after the earthquake struck.
Now, you mentioned that food distribution is your priority right now. What do you see as the needs being in a week, a month's mm-hmm. time, and in what ways will Catholic Relief Services be involved?
Sure. And that's one of the hallmarks of Catholic Relief Services. We don't just do the immediate relief. We do the long-term rehabilitation and reconstruction, as well as the long-term development that we were doing even before the earthquake struck. And many of those programs that aren't in Port-au-Prince, but that are in other parts of the country, those are continuing. At the same time, we're doing this emergency response in Port-au-Prince. Fairly soon, we will start transitioning from this acute relief stage, where we just provide the basics to people, to a more of a rehabilitation and a recovery and then a rebuilding effort. You'll see us start to help people build temporary shelters, anticipating that they might have to be in them for 2, maybe 3 years before their homes are rebuilt. We will help people try to get back to work through Cash for Work or other kinds of microfinance programs so that they will have a livelihood once again. We will start dealing with the trauma of this disaster, both in our staff, because there are people in our staff who have been traumatized, as well as the people that we serve. So we actually are bringing in trauma counselors from Beirut, French-speaking trauma counselors, many of them who have been working with Iraqi refugees in Beirut. They volunteered to come over, and because they speak French, they'll be able to communicate with the local Haitian population and deal with some of those trauma and psychological issues. So you'll see that kind of an intermediate phase of trying to get people back on their feet and back to some sense of normalcy. And then comes the long-term rebuilding. And just as we did in the tsunami, we will help people rebuild homes. We will rebuild schools, community centers. There may be some road construction. We did build some roads in Indonesia and some other municipal type of construction, like markets, for example. So that will be the very long-term process. And in the tsunami, in the case of the tsunami, it took us a good 5 years to complete that. We really have just finished that up in the last few months. And we anticipate working on this long-term reconstruction for a similar period of time.
Now, there are, you know, several groups, obviously, both faith-based institutions. We've got Jesuit Refugee Service, Catholic Relief Services. You have ads for the Red Cross on television. As you indicate, you also have the American military involved. Maybe you can give our listeners a sense of how these groups are working together, because it can seem, you know, given the chaos down there, how does it work to get all these people together to provide the aid that's needed?
Yeah, the larger relief agencies, the larger American relief agencies, who are very, very experienced and have a lot of capacity to handle these kinds of large-scale situations. I'm talking, besides Catholic Relief Services, groups like CARE, Save the Children, Mercy Corps, World Vision, those kinds of groups. We work together on a normal basis. Sometimes we'll share contracts with the U.S. government or with other funders. And in disaster situations, we are accustomed to coordinating and working together. So there actually will be coordination meetings. We'll sit down around the table and we'll say, okay, CARE is taking this area, Save the Children has this area, CRS is doing this. And we also have specialties in terms of one group might do shelter, one group is really good at water and sanitation, one is really good at getting people back to work. Another might be more oriented towards health, community health, and we will divide responsibilities according to those kinds of sectors as well. So we have a lot of experience doing this and a long history of working together and coordinating.
You've committed, Catholic Relief Services committed up to $25 million to Haiti, is that correct?
Correct, yes.
And how, in terms of donations, there's been a lot of coverage of the, you know, Red Cross, for example, using text messaging to get more donations, and that's been very successful. How is CRS doing in terms of donations, and how are you using new media to kind of, or the web online donations in order to drive more donations to your organization?
We are using the text messaging as well, although I don't think it's accounted for quite as large a percentage of our donations as maybe it has for the Red Cross. They've had a lot of advertising. We really don't advertise. And if we advertise at all, it's in Catholic publications. So we have a little bit on the text messaging, much more so coming in via the web. I think during the tsunami, web donations were a fairly small percentage of what we took in overall. But in the first days after a disaster, that's where you see most of the activity, because other donations take a while to process. So at this point, we've got about $19 million in overall donations, and of that amount, a little bit over $10 million has come in via the web. And that pace is a little bit ahead, actually, of where we were during the tsunami. The majority of the money that we will receive will come from either our direct mail. We just sent a mailing out this week, and people will be sending in checks that way, kind of the old traditional snail mail way. In addition, the parishes of the country held a second collection. Some did it this past weekend, some are going to do it this weekend, and so we'll receive a very sizable amount of our funding for Haiti from the second collection from individual Catholics in the United States. So that $25 million figure we anticipate is going to grow.
Maybe you saw, I think it was Nicholas Kristof's column today talking about some of the aid and some of the, he mentioned some of the comments on his blog about the issue and people raising objections, so, well, this money, we don't know where it's going to go to. You know, we've been giving money to Haiti for years and years, and there's some concern that perhaps it's not being used correctly. How does CRS ensure that the money that's donated goes to where it needs to go, and, you know, how much is devoted to administrative costs versus, you know, direct aid?
Our administrative rate is, I believe, 6%. So 94% of a donation would go for programming. Now, that so-called overhead is not really wasted money. That's money that goes to support services that enable us to program and to wisely and efficiently use that 94%. So things like auditors and personnel, So that's not an insubstantial or unimportant use of your donation. In terms of how we use it, we have a firm commitment to what we call donor intent. So if I say that I am giving to Catholic Relief Services for the Haiti earthquake, we're going to do everything possible to use that for the Haiti earthquake. There are some isolated situations in which we have a little money that, I wouldn't say it's excess, but we have it in reserve after we've covered the costs of an emergency, and we basically will devote that for a similar kind of use. It'll go for an acute emergency.
Well, John Rivera from Catholic Relief Services, again, if folks want to donate, you can just go to your website, which is crs.org, correct?
Correct, yes.
Great. Well, thanks very much for giving us this update.
All right. Thank you, Tim.